Hi everyone, welcome back to Girl Talk. I'm Nala.
I'm Emily.
And this is the podcast.
It sure is.
So, we're going to start off with a quick pop culture roundup because a couple of things have happened in the past like 2 days that we really need to discuss.
Yes.
The Eras Tour movie.
Woo!
The first thing that I want to mention is that she moved up the release.
Yeah.
Like by a day, and she was like, everyone go fight for tickets for the earlier day.
I've seen so many people be like, damn, I really worked hard to get tickets to the first showing at my local theater, but now it's not the first showing and it's non-refundable.
Exactly. And honestly, we didn't really care.
Yeah, no.
We were gonna see it when we were gonna see it, and that was gonna be it. So, she moved it up, wild, but, you know, it's what it is. The premiere was, as of today, last night.
It was last night.
Yes. I'm glad I said that the right thing. Let's talk about the outfit.
Would love to.
I liked it. I think that the dress, though, looked like it was made out of a duvet. And I don't particularly love, like, I know she tried to go for the short hair effect by like just flipping her hair underneath, but I didn't like how it looked.
I almost feel like you're Taylor Swift and that's the best fake bob you can do,
right?
Like the flob. I feel like we could have done without the flob.
I agree. I think that it just didn't look right, you know.
It looked like fake.
It was.
I thought it wasn't her when I looked at the photos.
Really?
It looked not real. Even though the first photo I saw was on her official Instagram account. So, like, yeah, but
she looks better in the photo with the cup, but in the other photos, I don't know about that.
Like, dare I say it didn't serve as hard as I wish it did.
I agree. I think that the dress, you know, has some symbolism, the light blue 1989 yeah. TV. I think that we could have done an Eras-themed dress.
Yes.
All the colors in a nice way. Like, not, like, it would look kind of clowny if she put all the colors on just, like, willy-nilly. Yeah. So, let's talk about the queen. Well, one of many. Beyoncé was there.
I woke up to this news, and I fully thought it was all edited.
I thought it was AI.
Because, like, dare I say, it didn't really look like Beyoncé or Taylor. They looked like wax figurines of both of them.
Sure. I think it's really awesome that she was there. I think that it puts all those rumors to rest of, like, the two biggest tours of the year and, like, who's going to win and who's... But that's not what it is. It's just two fan bases who do fight. I'm not gonna lie. Swifties and the Beehive kind of... They get to brawling. Just like we do.
Oh, they do. I mean, I think because they're both putting out movies, it would be a little silly to be like, there's no way that their teams are going to have competition. Like, right. Obviously, they're going to be fighting about it a little bit. But I think it's nice to show solidarity, not like, you know, we hate you.
I think it's very, like, important because, you know, in the industry that they're in, women are shamed all the time and pitted against each other all the time. So I think that using the power that they both have to make this statement of, yes, we have two different, like, tours. Yes, we have two different movies. And are they in competition? Kind of, yeah. But at the end of the day, it's important that we lift each other up instead of, you know, putting each other down. Like, that sounds really, like, 2014 era, like, lean in feminism. But, like, it's just the truth.
Totally.
And I hope that Taylor goes to Beyonce's premiere of her movie.
I mean, I think part of the really interesting thing is the fact that the timing worked out so well because her tour just ended and Taylor's is on a little break. So the fact that they were both able to go is like a little kooky. I mean, I didn't think Taylor was even going to be there, to be honest.
Really?
I mean, I didn't even really know the premiere was happening until like a few days ago. And they did that on purpose. It was a very Taylor Nation, like, keep this confidential moment.
Yeah. But
It's wild how much has happened in the past year. Like, if you think about it, we hadn't even heard Midnights, like, 1 year ago.
Oh my god.
Right?
That is so wild.
Like, we didn't even know what the aesthetic was going to be. And now we all have that, the tour, and two Taylor's versions.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we don't have 1990 yet, but it's coming soon.
It's coming. Very soon. It gives me a lot of perspective that, you know, where we are now versus where we were. Because, like, makes me think about me, just like everything. Like, yeah. Listening to Midnights in my dorm room with my roommate. She didn't want to hear it, but, like, she said I could play it out loud.
I listened to it with my roommate, like, asleep over in the other bed, and I was, like, just hiding under a blanket, like, ah!
Oh.
Literally. When Karma came on, I literally think I hyperventilated and in the blanket.
Karma is such a bop. I love dancing to it.
Well, speaking of her songs, not all of the songs on the tour made it into the movie.
I'm so scared.
So, I have a list.
I'd like to say that I don't know what they are. This is going to be my live reaction actively.
Would you like me to go in order of songs, like, from each era that they cut? They didn't cut one from each era, but, like, in order of era, or in order of performance, or the one that I think will, like, shock you the most?
Order of shockingness. Yeah.
Okay, so this is... I don't have an order. I'm just going to guess.
Okay, yeah, nice.
Okay. So it might shock you. I mean, I think they're all going to shock you.
Okay.
The first one that they cut, which everyone thought was going to be in the movie, No Body, No Crime.
Okay.
Because everyone was like, they filmed it with Haim in those cutie little dresses.
Right.
Nope, it's gone.
That shocks me the least. So you're doing well so far.
Okay. So the next song that they cut, I don't think this is going to be shocking to you, so I'll say it now.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of the most hurtful ones for me. The Archer.
No.
It's gone.
I'm in the Archer.
I've been the prey.
And she does that thing with her arm. She's cutting that?
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
I think it's an easy edit because it's a very slow moment at the beginning of tour. You wouldn't even know what happened if you hadn't seen it all over social media. But, like, that song means a lot to me, and I'm really sad that I won't get to scream it in a theater. I mean, I could just, like, rent out a theater and scream
it. You could still scream it.
Okay, next one. This is a 1989 song.
No! I'm so scared.
She just completely cut Wildest Dreams.
Really?
Yeah. She's gone.
And you know what? I think that's okay. Like, at first, I was like, at first, as in like 2 seconds ago, I was like, but I think Wildest Dreams is one of those, it can get kind of boring time after time.
Yeah.
So I understand that one.
Next is a song that I'm not shocked she cut because it was not on the set list for the entire, every single date.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would have made such a beautiful moment in the movie. There's No Long Live.
Really?
Goodbye, Long Live.
Goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye. You were bigger than the whole sky.
Literally.
Dang. Okay.
We are down to the final song.
Oh, I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous.
It's a song I love very, very dear, near and dear to my heart, but we will not be singing Sorry Cardigan.
What?
She's gone. We won't get all... James, Betty, Augustine trio will never be complete in our ears.
Under someone's bed. That's so messed up.
And because do have August and Betty. Why would you just cut...
Take out the third, like, or whatever. What order is
she
it?
She should have just cut Last Great American Dynasty if she's going to cut anything from Folklore.
She does that at tour?
Yeah.
That's... I mean, it's a fun one. Rebecca came up. Okay. Because I think every time you say the name of a song, I start singing it. So I'm going to just stop. Wow.
So, the good thing is if you think about any other song that's on the set list that I didn't mention, those are all there.
Nice.
Like, what a shame she's fucked in the head. We will sing it.
We will be singing.
So, I wasn't expecting her to cut so many. I thought maybe one or two, but no. Ugh.
That's so upsetting to me.
It is.
But it's okay. We'll get through.
We'll just play Cardigan, like, in the Uber. That's pretty much it. We're going, what, next week? Next weekend?
What, next weekend?
That's very exciting, but I think... To jump into the main topic of our episode.
Yeah.
Would you like to reveal the main topic, Nala?
The main topic of today's episode is being a 20-year-old teenager.
Yay!
Woo! So this is something that people have been talking about a lot, and I think that I heard about it first in reference to Olivia Rodrigo's album Guts, talking about like what it's like growing up and looking back on your past and how you're not really that different than you were a couple years ago, but society sees you as different because you're not a teenager anymore. Yeah. I think that another thing I was thinking about is that the Barbie movie really did that, because the whole, spoiler alert, although that's wild that you haven't seen Barbie, and I'm going to pass judgment on you. And I know who I'm talking to. You. You know who you are. You haven't seen the Barbie movie, and
I can't believe
it. Does the secret person listen to our pod?
I have no idea.
I would hope so. Shout out secret person.
Shout out
Text secret us person. If you are hearing
this. Text us if you're listening. So, yeah, I think Barbie really brought to the forefront thinking about girlhood and growing up and really experiencing what it was like to be a kid as opposed to being an adult. And I think that a lot of people were affected by that because they didn't get that opportunity to really feel like a kid.
I mean, I think a scene that really exemplifies the idea of being a 20-year-old teenager is the scene where Gloria is playing with the Barbies. And she's like, well, I needed a way to cope, and I just found your old Barbies, and I found myself playing with them, and it was really healing. I mean, I guess it maybe wasn't so healing, because then she started sketching, like...
Depression Barbie.
Depression Barbie. Cellulite Barbie. And, like...
Existential dread Barbie.
Yeah. And I just... I think it's a great way to be, like, you know, you have these coping mechanisms when you're little, and people tell you, like, you can't do that anymore, you can't watch that stupid little cartoon show, whatever it might be,
right?
And that's just simply not true.
Absolutely. I think that there are a lot of things that young adult women are being judged for, you know, having stuffed animals. It's, you know, like it's a coping mechanism for a lot of people, and you know, it's seen just childish, or like even people who dress with a lot of color, I feel like, are looked at as childish. You know, as you get older, you're supposed to dress less loud and blend in and, you know, be neutral and join the corporate world.
I mean, I do think a lot of it is kind of inherently tied with feminism and misogyny and all that stuff. Because, like what you're saying, a lot of times when women wear colorful things, that's seen as unprofessional.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of is tied with that whole, like, women are more emotional and blah, 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 and all that stuff. But I definitely don't think the idea of being a 20-year-old teenager only applies to women, but I mostly do see women talking about it, so.
Right. And they're kind of at the center of this, like, theory, especially because, you know, Olivia Rodrigo identifies as a woman, and Barbie, I mean, the Barbie we saw identifies as a woman, like Margot Robbie Barbie. So I do agree that it is a universal experience. However, you know, women have been the most of the forefront of it. And I think that it might be because men are afraid to say it. I think, you know, as, you know, Barbie showed, we all live under the patriarchy, and maybe a side effect of that is men not feeling like they can share their lost boyhood because, you know, it's not as quote unquote important.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at men, like, a lot of the times their interests do carry over because they are kind of valued in the adult world. If you look at how professional sports are viewed versus the arts, even, or even just like the fashion beauty world, like one is always going to be more highly rated as like an adult thing to do. And it's not that people are often criticized for being involved in fashion and beauty, but it just feels like it's a lower tier.
Yeah, it feels like it's not as important because it's frivolous or something that's not like essential to life. Whereas sports are seen as I'm a live and die hard, I don't know, like Packers fan. And I'm not saying that, but Harry Styles is a Packers fan. So that's why I said that. I'm a like diehard Packers fan, and I'm going to go to every single game and spend thousands of dollars. But you can't spend your thousands of dollars on makeup because that's stupid.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely got off topic a little bit, but I think it's good to kind of understand the foundation of how feminism is involved in this topic, because I think it is impossible to be intersectional and separate them, because that would literally makes no sense. But to go back to our topic a little bit, one thing I wrote in our show notes for today that I think is interesting is the idea of how the concept of being a teenager is kind of a social construct.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, like, the word teenager just comes from, like, developmental things that happen to you and all that.
Right.
But I think there's a lot of, like, social pressures that have been added to that. So it's like, when you're a teenager, you should have your first kiss, have your first, like, experience getting really drunk, have your experience of, like, learning how to get a job and, like, pay for your own bills and all that stuff. And I just think, once you turn 20, a lot of people expect, I mean, really once you're over 18, but especially once you turn 20 and you don't have that, like, I'm a teenager excuse, people look at you like you're not supposed to not know things anymore.
Right.
And I just think that's a bit wild.
I agree. I think that being 20 should come with the understanding that you're not a fully grown adult yet. And I think that when I was younger, I was like, oh, when I'm 20, or, you know, when I'm in my 20s, I'm gonna have everything figured out and I'm gonna be completely financially stable and everything's gonna be great. And it's just like, I don't think that I even understood where I would be, and I had really unrealistic expectations of myself because of the way society runs. And something else that I wanted to mention about what you said is talking about milestones. A lot of people, they might not have their first kiss when they're a teenager. They might not go on their first date when they're a teenager. And I think that that's, like, an idea that media reinforces all the time.
Oh, of course.
One thing that comes to mind in particular is the show Never Have I Ever, where they're all, you know, Davey, Fabiola, and Eleanor are kind of, like, talking about reaching certain milestones, specifically, like, romantic ones. And Davey was just like, I don't want to go to college a virgin. That's lame. Nobody does that. And it's just like, why? Why? People do that.
Yeah.
Why are you... And I mean, it's like a little funny thing maybe. And it is a reflection of how a lot of teenagers think now. But why reinforce that idea?
Yeah. And I think part of the problem doesn't even come from when you're a teenager and you're not experiencing those things. Or at least in my experience, it's been more when you're older than you're supposed to have done things and you go about doing those things, it feels quite odd and a bit wrong. So, like, when I have to ask my parents, you know, hey, I don't really know how to, like, fill out this form for my job or go about this, like, social thing, I just feel so stupid.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is people telling you you're an adult now. And that's just so, that's quite meaningless to me, I think, even just, like, based off the language that you're using. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to navigate, I think, especially when you're in college and you don't have that support system, like, right around you all the time.
Right.
But anytime in your life, really.
Yeah. And it's, like, one of the things that we wanted to touch upon today is, like, the taxes thing. Like, I did not know how to do that. And I had to go on this website that's good for people who are filing taxes for the first time, but it's like, why is this something we're not talking about more?
Yeah.
And where's the support?
Like, yeah, I mean, I think we could do a whole episode on the U.S. public education system and how, like, kind of not efficient the way that they set it up is, but
yeah,
that's really, like, not what we're talking about. So I think a lot of it does have to do with that.
Yeah.
But I think there's other ways too where, like, just things are, like, not talked about and you're supposed to just figure it out by yourself.
Right.
But then when you ask for help, it's, like, frowned upon.
Right. And a lot of it is just, like, the basic things, like, taking care of myself. Like,
even just hygiene is, like, if you don't get taught that, you feel weird asking questions. And I think people think it's, like, once you're an adult, you can't have questions.
Right. And it's like scheduling your own appointments. Like, me in particular, I moved here from New Jersey when I graduated high school. And how do you start all over in a new state? How do you do that? I've never done that.
I still don't know.
Yeah.
I still have problems where people are like, you're out of state, so we can't do that. And I'm like,
right.
I don't know.
And it's like the transition is so difficult. And I mean, I do have a good support system, but there's only so much they can teach me.
Yeah.
And I kind of have to be the one to make those steps on my own. But it's so, it feels like it's so much responsibility. And I'm just a little girl. Literally. I don't know.
I think people don't really understand what I'm like, but I'm just a little baby who doesn't know anything. Like, it is very much a defense mechanism to kind of remind myself that I'm allowed to feel like I don't know anything. And that's not
right.
Something that's wrong with me. And that's not something that, like, society is going to, like, attack me for.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is just kind of a silly little joke sometimes, too. So, I don't know.
Yeah, so we kind of ran away a little, but basically being a 20-year-old teenager, we kind of talked about it, is like you are 20 years old, but yet you still feel like you don't know enough and like the world is kind of moving on without you. At least that's what it feels like to me.
Yes. I mean, to me it also just feels like when people recount things that happened to them in the past, and I don't have those experiences, I feel like I'm almost not aging with them.
Right.
Like, I'm kind of stuck in, this is kind of just what you said, but, like, in a different words.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't party in high school. I didn't
Me neither.
Do any of that stuff. So when people are, like, shocked that I act the way I do, I'm like, I'm just a little baby.
Yeah. And, like, as I said before, media really reinforces it. Like, there are tons and tons of movies about, like, a group of typically girls who have this pact to all lose their virginity before they graduate.
Well, you know, the pregnancy pact, it takes it a step further.
The pregnancy pact goes that extra mile, goes that extra 50 million miles. But, like, what is that?
I mean, it doesn't help that they usually cast actors that are, like, in their 30s to play high schoolers. So then when you get to college and you look like a little baby compared to them, you're like, oh.
Yeah. And I think that it's damaging. Like, it's a really big hit to self-esteem because it feels as though you know so little and everyone else around you knows so much, but they don't want to tell you and they don't want to talk about it. And they look at you and they see someone who, you know, is still very naive and doesn't know enough about the world. And it's like, I know a lot about the world. I just don't know what you know.
Exactly.
And a lot of those, like, conventionally fun things I'd never been interested in doing. And that's fine. Like, I feel like everyone should have their own preferences. If you want to lose your virginity before college, that is none of my business. If you want to go to tons of parties and get used to party culture before college, again, none of my business. Feel free to do so. But I don't think that people who choose not to do those things should be shamed constantly.
1,000%. I mean, I also think part of it is, like, it's almost a process of grieving when you grow up sometimes, because you have to, like, let go of the things that you liked as a child.
When you're a kid, things are so much more free. And at least to me, you know, I felt my parents were there to protect me, and so I could just be who I wanted to be. Yes. And if anyone else had a problem with that, I could, you know, tell my teacher or, you know, tell my parents, and they would sort it out for me so that I could just be happy.
Yes.
And as you grow up in middle school, I kind of had to make my own way. And sometimes it worked out. Sometimes it didn't work out. So it wasn't like my parents could go talk to these 12-year-olds and say, hey, stop that. I mean, they could, but, like, what would that do? That would just make them get more mad. So as you get older, you have to kind of take all the negative stuff in your own hands. I don't think that we as a society have figured out how to do that in a way that doesn't absolutely shatter the confidence of the child. Like, we just haven't figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a consequence that we have to deal with, but it's just sad to think about feeling genuinely happy and feeling genuinely truly free. Like, was so long ago. Like, I'm 20 now. Maybe, let's say, like, 13 years was the last time I felt truly free.
It's bananas.
It is cuckoo bananas. You're right.
And I mean, I was looking at this article about the topic we're talking about, and I think they were saying how nostalgia is a very powerful marketing tool, because when you tap into these things that make people feel the way that they felt the last time that they, you know, were free and happy and all that stuff, like, you want to tap into that. And I think part of this whole topic, like, being stuck in your childhood, is just based on missing that, and then people presenting you with the opportunity to like get those feelings again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always the same, especially because a lot of that is rooted in capitalism. Like, they know it sells, so they're going to sell it to you and they're going to make money off of it.
Right.
But I think it can make you feel really old and really young at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, wow, I have my real girl job to buy these Jonas Brothers tickets, so I'm going to get my 5-year-old self to come out and scream the words. Like, it's just, it's a weird feeling.
It is. It's kind of like you're stuck, so you kind of turn backwards so that you don't have to look ahead. I mean, that's what I think.
1,000%.
That was so poetic of me.
It was.
Thank you.
I mean, it kind of reminded me of the Barbie quote.
Yeah, mothers or something.
We mothers stand still so our daughters can look back and see how far they've come.
That made me cry. It was so sad, but also such a good line.
Yeah, and I don't want to say that, like, parents are the issue. I just think that, because honestly, if a parent did the opposite and, like, constantly try to protect their child, which a lot of parents do, those children grow up to be adults that don't know how to function in the real world.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do we do?
I guess our takeaway is that no adults have ever known how to function. And so it's like, you have to be okay with that sometimes.
And you have to, like, face hard times. And I know that life, like, I don't want to say that life should be easy for everyone. I mean, honestly, life should be easy for everyone. You know what? Yeah. Life should be easy for everyone. No one should have to suffer or struggle.
In an ideal world, sure.
In an ideal world, yes. But, and some suffering does build character, and struggles build character. I agree with that. However, suffering also builds mental illness.
Yeah. That's true.
So, I mean, it depends on which one you value more.
Sure.
Oh, talking about another thing is a lot of things that happen in girlhood that's coming up lately is grooming. Everyone's favorite thing.
I think, again, it's kind of the idea of, like, when something happens to you in your childhood that makes you grow up so fast, you take a pause and you're like, wow, I really didn't get that time to be a child, to be that free little kid. And I think that's, again, why a lot of people turn to being this, like, I'm a little baby, like, mindset, because they didn't have that experience. And that's not something that I can really attest to. Like, I didn't go through that.
Yeah.
But I think it really does show, like, why that mindset has become so prevalent in a lot of people's lives.
Yeah. I think I was never groomed. But, you know, I think that the thing that made me grow up so fast, it kind of was just like, I felt really sad about it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And after the Barbie movie, also, I'm learning how to drive. So that's like a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But that's another milestone that people expect to be done.
Yes, I could do a whole... We'll get back to that in a minute.
We will. But so I was practicing driving that day. And after I saw the Barbie movie for the second time, I drove back to the house I used to live in, and I just sat there. My aunt and I just sat there, and just thinking about, like, the past. Being put in a situation like that makes you reflect on the past so much, and it's just like, it almost seems like there's no way to move on from it besides just, like, forgetting about it sometimes, and just, like, getting through the day. Which, is that great? No. However, the world kind of just keeps moving on, and, like, at some point you're gonna have to get back on your groove, or you're just gonna be stuck.
Yeah, I mean, change is hard, and I think, obviously, like, undoubtedly our traumas are very different, but just speaking from my own experience, like, when something happens to you and you're expected to move on, but you keep, like, replaying what happened to you, or kind of, like, reflecting on it all the time, you kind of lose who you are becoming in that moment, because your entire identity is just linked to something that has occurred in the past.
Absolutely.
And it's hard because you are changing. Like, you're not literally stuck reflecting on that forever, but mentally you are. But then you look around you and you're, like, 5 years older, and you're like, how the hell am I a junior in college and I haven't aged at all?
Right.
And I think the elephant in the room that we're not addressing that really did add to that is the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know about you, but the pandemic was really hard for me. I mean, I don't like to say the pandemic because it is technically still going on, if you look at data and all that. But like the initial quarantines were quite difficult for me to experience. Mm-hmm. I think nobody really expected it to go on for as long as it did.
Yeah.
But for me, it was a very hard time to be a 16-year-old.
I completely agree with you. Being trapped inside a house and not really being able to live that, like, teenage dream, to live that teen experience, that was lost. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to feel sad about it. I mean, I got my senior prom, but, you know, we didn't get a junior prom. We didn't get, like, I didn't get to see my friends every day because we were doing school online, and so we would meet up for lunch on through a Discord call for like a 30 minutes.
That's so cute.
Yeah, but it's just like, because then you'd log off and at the end of the day, that's it.
Yeah,
it's just you in your room all day doing school, and then it's also your room to sleep in.
Yeah, and I think the pandemic is a great example of what I was talking about before, when you're stuck on something and you're aging, but you don't really feel like you're aging. Mm-hmm. And I think an even better example of that is that I started driver's ed, I want to say it was like December or January 2020. Mm-hmm. And I did 5 driver's ed lessons, and then everything shut down, and the driver's ed company was like, we're not like bringing this back, we're not resuming it, we don't have the staff, we don't have the funding, like, we're just going to refund you all and deal with that later. And so I was like, well, all my driving plans are now stunted, and mm-hmm. I didn't get my license until, okay, if we went into lockdown March 2020, this was June 2021, and I was hoping to get my license probably around, like, you know, like, summer 2020. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's like you look around and you're older, but nothing has happened to you, kind of.
Right.
And so it's hard to be like, ah, yes, I am 20 years old, because in my head, I'm 17. Like, I haven't experienced the things that even I, like, I know it comes from societal pressure, but I too expected to, you know, get my license earlier, do all these things, and still a work in progress, and that's okay, but it's weird sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I think that we don't really talk about the pandemic anymore. Like, no. I don't think anyone really talks about how life-changing that was.
Yeah.
For everyone.
I mean, I think about, like, I had a whole plan for my spring semester, and, like, I don't know what my life would be like if I never went through all those things. Like, yeah. I don't think I would be on this campus with these friends with this hairstyle, even, you know? It comes down to, like, when you think about the butterfly effect, it always freaks me out.
Yeah.
Because, like, I could be a completely different person, and the pandemic was such a large part of my adolescence that, like, I think I would be a completely different person if it never happened to me. And that's weird. Yes, it did affect us all very much, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the pandemic really, I think things had to get worse for them to get better.
Yeah.
And the pandemic was not great. Mm-hmm. So I think that that kind of led me to realize, okay, this is really bad. What can I do to kind of improve myself? And not to say it was a different time, like, but it was a different time. People were scrounging for toilet paper.
Yeah.
We were in fear of our lives, and we also had to do school.
Like, literally.
But, you know, people would say, that's life, kid. But is it? Because the pandemic, I think, is the one thing that parents can't hold over our heads. Like,
yeah.
I went to school in 5 pandemics and I had the bubonic plague. Like, no, nobody's saying that. That is a unique thing that only people who were in, you know, school at the time went through, and no parent can be like that. So that's something that we can kind of not, like, that's something that we can recognize impacted our experience.
Yeah. So one thing that we also wrote in the notes that we want to touch upon is the song All American Bitch by Ooh. Olivia Rodrigo. I think this song, it's nothing like super revolutionary, but it really encapsulates kind of everything that we're talking about. So if you don't know this song, just to give a little bit of context, it is the first track on Olivia Rodrigo's 2023 album Guts. And it kind of has this, like, dual aesthetic going on. Do you want to explain that a little bit?
So, kind of at the beginning, we've got a slow, steady kind of pace going on. And then when it hits the chorus, it's just, like, almost like it was building up. And then it kind of just all comes out really loud and with the drums and the guitar. And it's, like, really aggressive. And then it goes back. It conceals itself. And then we get back to the chorus and it's wild. And then the bridge as well. And then the end is, like, the most... Like, it's almost creepy how it goes from so loud, yes, to so quiet. And I love that.
Yeah. So throughout the whole song, she's really touching upon things that are expected of young women. So, like, the first verse reads, "I am light as a feather. I'm stiff as a board. I pay attention to things that most people ignore. I'm all right with the movies that make jokes about senseless cruelty. That's for sure." And so those are all things that are, like, expected of young women. They're expected to be quiet, but yet pay attention to things. They're expected to, you know, like, watch things that are aggressive, but not comment on them. Of course not. Mm-hmm. And so Olivia's kind of like, oh, yes, I am this perfect little girl. And then you go into the chorus and she starts screaming, like, I'm the perfect all-American bitch. I know my age and I act like it. Almost like what I said before, you can watch things and not comment on them. It's like, she's talking. She's commenting. And I love the line, I know my age and I act like it, because mm-hmm. a lot of people use your age against you. I think we've been talking about that the whole episode. It's like,
yeah,
act your age. And it's like, I am acting my age. You just have a weird conception of what my age should reflect in the world. And that's, again, I think that just really sums up everything we're talking about.
Yeah.
Same thing, second verse. And then I guess, anything in the bridge you want to talk about?
I'm the eternal optimist. I think, you know, people who are socialized as women are kind of instructed to look on the bright side of things and don't be so negative all the time.
Yeah, but she can scream inside to deal with it. You know, she can't, like, she can't, again, she can't say this to the public, but she's going to scream inside.
Yeah.
And then that scream does get increasingly louder throughout the song. And I think that's just a really powerful way of showing, like, women should be allowed to scream. No, but, like, seriously, you know?
I absolutely agree. So, the outro, all the time, I'm grateful all the time. I'm sexy and I'm kind. I'm pretty when I cry. So, she says that twice, but I'm not going to read it twice.
Yeah.
So, all the time, I'm grateful all the time. Kind of, I was like, ding, ding, ding. Because that reminded me of Gloria's monologue in,
yes,
Barbie. Always be grateful.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the idea of, like, again, as I've said throughout the whole song, so not to be a broken record, but, like, women are allowed to have emotions as long as they're quiet about them. Like, you can be, you know, really angry, but as long as you show outwardly that you're grateful, as long as you stay sexy, like,
yeah,
it's fine.
It's like,
as long as you can cry, but if you're only if you're pretty.
Right.
You know, it's, yeah.
And I think that this part of the song and the Barbie movie go hand in hand so well.
Yes. This song, if it had come out earlier, Greta Gerwig would have snatched it right up.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, women have to be pretty all the time. Even when they cry, they can't show any, you know, cracks or any signs of ugliness.
Yeah.
Because that's not what a woman is. And, you know, the male gaze and this and that. But I think she makes really good points.
Yeah. And I think this song definitely came at a good time, for me at least, because mm-hmm. I think it's hard to identify these feelings when you're in it, you know? It's, yeah, hard to be like, I am feeling societal pressure to be, like, prettier and more, you know, older than I am, but also younger than I am at the same time.
Right.
And so, yeah, I'm just really, I love, like, experiencing and, like, learning things through music.
Before we close it out, something that I just wanted to mention is the word adulting.
Yes.
Let's talk about it.
Hashtag adulting.
I cannot. It is a very millennial word.
It is. And I think for people that are listening and are not familiar with Gen Z versus millennial humor, that might come off a little bit strange. And I don't really know how to identify what about it feels millennial.
Yeah.
It just does.
I think that millennials like to take things and make them more fun.
Yes.
For them. So, you know, being an adult and doing these hard tasks to deal with when you're growing up, they kind of made it a fun little word, which, according to my good friend Google, the definition is the practice of behaving in a way characteristic of a responsible adult, especially in the accomplishment of mundane but necessary tasks.
Yes, like, I remember always seeing on BuzzFeed, it was like, 20 things that show that you're really adulting today. And it would be like, you made a bowl of pasta. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, like, whoa. Oh, the first article of that, when I look up adulting, the first article is, adulting definition, millennial's favorite new word.
Feels correct to me.
And I hear that phrase all the time, like, ever since I turned 18, even. It's just like, this is adulting. Welcome to adulting. You're gonna have to start adulting now. And it's like, okay, I'll try my best. I'll try to schedule my own doctor's appointments and, you know, get multivitamins, which are way too expensive, by the way.
They are.
I think millennials kind of took it and tried to make it a fun little thing so that they didn't feel so sad. Sorry, millennials, but
yeah.
We're sad too. Don't worry. Everyone is sad.
Yes.
Depression Barbie is all of us.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, too, just in the idea that, like, nothing changes when you turn 20.
Yeah.
And I think my message to all of our listeners, so probably just my dad, hi, Dad.
Dad!
I guess my main takeaway and my message to kind of finish out the episode is just remember to be kind to yourself, mm-hmm. and remember that everything is a social construct, and you shouldn't have to prescribe to them, but sometimes you're just going to have to kind of get through things, but that doesn't make you a bad person, and you should be allowed to change in the way that is the healthiest and most comfortable for you.
Absolutely agree.
So, until next time, please follow us on Instagram. Please, I'm begging you so much. It's at girltalk.pod. Every episode, we post hilarious memes created by us or found on the dark, dark depths of Pinterest. It's so silly, so funny. We don't have that many followers, but I run it anyway.
Yeah.
But you can change that. You can make a change.
They're going to change that you run it. They're going to take over.
You need to change the amount of followers, please. Okay, I think my begging campaign is over. See you next week or the week after that. We don't know.
Sorry.
Bye. Bye.